Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we talk about the new feature film, Souvenirs, which highlights Minnesota's Red Bulls. And we get an update from our friends at Paw Pads on their work helping veterans through service dogs. But before we get started, let's take a moment to remember one of Minnesota's own. The Department of Defense announced the death of a soldier who was supporting Operation Enduring Freedom. Specialist Joseph A. Kennedy, 25, of St. Paul, Minnesota, died April 15th in the Ghazni province, Afghanistan, of injuries sustained when enemy forces attacked his unit with small arms fire. He was assigned to the 2nd Battalion, 2nd Infantry Regiment, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 1st Infantry Division, Fort Knox, Kentucky. Kennedy graduated from Simley in 2004 and was a member of the Spartans wrestling team. Kennedy began his military service in April 2009. This was his first combat tour. He will be missed. And now it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
One of the many ways that the Minnesota National Guard continues to field a competent and ready force is by ensuring that we invest time in training our soldiers and airmen. Currently, 250 Minnesota citizen soldiers with the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division are engaged in the largest training event occurring outside of Minnesota in 2011. Select staff of the 34th Infantry Division are in Grafenwehr, Germany. During the training exercise, Red Bulls are portraying the higher headquarters for units that will deploy in the future. From a technical point of view, the mission of the 34th Division during this training event is integrating the command, control, communications, and automation procedures for joint and multinational forces. The Red Bulls are uniquely qualified to do this, having completed this exact mission during a combat tour in Iraq from 2009 to 2010. In fact, Iraq wasn't the first time the unit has done so in recent memory. The Red Bulls have provided command and control operations for Stabilization Force 14 in Bosnia during 2003 to 2004 and for Kosovo in 2004. This particular training exercise, called Austere Challenge, will include coalition partners from Germany, Great Britain, France, and Poland, allowing the Minnesota National Guard to maintain its proficiency in operating in today's multinational partnership environment. It is important that the citizens of Minnesota know that your National Guard has a solid reputation for being an integral part of our nation's security, and our units train hard to make sure we are ready when our state and nation calls.
Thank you, General Nash. You can link to the Adjutant General's blog, Facebook, and Twitter feed through MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/generally speaking. This week, producer Craig Christensen and director Sam Fisher join us. They are currently working on the new film, Souvenirs, which was shot in Minnesota and features our Red Bull soldiers. Mr. Christensen, Mr. Fisher, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having us, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Gentlemen, I understand you've both been involved in the film industry for over 20 years.
That's correct. Myself, Sam, I have 25 years into the industry. From everything from episodic television to feature films.
And this is Craig. I've been working with Perspective Films for 11 years and have been working in the industry for probably close to 20.
And I also understand that you've worked together before you started this feature film.
That's correct, yes.
A little helpful for a producer and director who spent some time together.
Yeah, it's good to build that relationship before you dive into something like this.
And you've been working on a film that was produced in Minnesota and with the advice and the help of the Minnesota National Guard, and it's called Souvenirs. It's a film that you describe as two generations, two wars, one story. Where'd you find this story, and can you tell us what is the story of the film?
The story was originated, a friend of mine, Jeff Traxler, came up with the storyline. And, you know, we just had the access to some assets that kind of sparked the interest in doing kind of a war picture, which isn't really a war picture. It's a family story. So Jeff came up with the idea, and I brought a friend of mine, Mark Conklin, our screenplay writer, involved. And we sat down and we came up with the script.
You showed me the trailer earlier, which I hope all Minnesotans can see soon.
Yep.
And I've read a little bit about the story, and it for an old Vietnam veteran, it's very compelling.
Yeah.
You get into a multi-generational, a really, really unique story, don't you?
Yeah, I believe it's a story that will hit home with many families in this country. There's probably not a dinner table in this country that hasn't been affected by war or somebody in their family serving in the armed forces.
We're speaking with producer Craig Christensen and director Sam Fisher, the creative team behind the new film Souvenirs, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Craig, what interested you in this film to get started?
Well, there's several things. One, of course, is the opportunity to tell a story between a grandfather and a grandson that becomes much more valuable to the grandfather than he ever realized it could be. He always had this relationship with his grandson, but this experience that he goes through touches his heart and really brings that to life. And it's one of those things where you want to tell the story and you want to have this out there. And this allowed us to bring that together. It was a really nice opportunity.
And the grandfather in this story is a World War II vet, and like a lot of those World War II vets, didn't want to talk about his experiences, did he?
Yeah, they keep those things locked up inside, which is, we all know, is not a very healthy issue.
And it's really the big part of the whole film, isn't
it? Yeah, for me as a director, the getting the message out of, you know, don't take these things to the grave. Tell your story. Hand your history down orally to your younger generations, because they'll never know if you don't share those stories. And more importantly, just get it off your chest, you know, and don't live with that stuff inside and keep it inside. It's really important to find resources to talk about it.
And building relationships. I mean, to have tight relationships with family members, it's really valuable, and you never get closer than those.
That's right.
I thought it was interesting that the show starts out with the grandson finding the footlocker.
That's right. Yeah.
And then trying to get the grandfather to talk about it.
Well, you know, it's a footlocker that's been collecting dust since he got home from the war. It's in the barn, and the grandson happens to discover this and drags it out, and it also happens to be Memorial Weekend. And so he drops it at Grandpa's lap and says, pretty obstinately, says, you know, tell me about this stuff. And Grandpa says, you go put that back. It doesn't belong to you. And the grandson kind of steps forward and says, no, you're going to tell me about these things. You're going to share this stuff with me because it's Memorial Day. And what am I supposed to remember?
And as the story progresses, the grandson grows up to be an officer in the Minnesota National Guard.
That's correct. And through his experiences and his stories that his grandfather shared with him, he experiences, you know, similar incidences while he's serving over in Iraq in 2005. And you know, it helps him alter his decisions on how he deals with things. And he knows that he's going to come home, and you know, he kind of gets the nickname as the collector while he's over there, because he's saving little things that he's going to share with his son someday. And he knows he's going to come home, and he's going to be able to talk about it with his family, and he's going to be able to, you know, just not keep things inside forever.
And that all ties back into the title, Souvenirs, doesn't it?
That's right.
It sounds like a fascinating story, and it's one that I'm certainly going to go see. I hope it comes out pretty soon.
So do we.
Yeah.
You guys, have you worked with the military before?
You know, I have slightly. I worked on an episodic series called The Unit, and so that was a CBS series. And so I got some firsthand experience with the guys there, you know, some experts in the field, but not along this level, you know, not as a director, and not the participation that we had from the National Guard here was phenomenal. I mean, they all volunteered their time to come out and make sure that we were doing things technically accurate, because accuracy and portraying these soldiers technically accurate in their dialogue, in their movement, it was very important to me.
And this was a greater experience than just the Minnesota National Guard. We went to the Department of Defense through the Public Affairs Office in Los Angeles to get some coordination and some approval to you know, have the Minnesota National Guard involved, which is really helpful. The Public Affairs Office in Los Angeles were really good and really helpful. and it brought the National Guard involved in and in, into this experience.
Yeah, without that approval, we wouldn't been able to get the support from the National Guard. It actually, the script had to go through the Hollywood offices of the public affairs of the military, of the Army, and then it had to go through the Department of Defense.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I hope to talk about where you filmed it in Minnesota and the assistance and advice that you got from the Minnesota National Guard. So we'll continue our conversation with Craig Christensen and Sam Fisher after a short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking to Craig Christensen and Sam Fisher, the producer and director of Perspective Films. And we're discussing their upcoming feature film, Souvenir, the great story, intergenerational story about a World War II veteran and one of today's Minnesota National Guard veterans who happens to be his grandson. Gentlemen, you've been telling me that this was filmed entirely in Minnesota?
That's correct.
Can you tell me where and how that all worked?
Well, you know, there were some challenges for this. We've got, you know, Iraq, and we have some scenarios in World War II where we follow the 82nd Airborne. So we had to find some locations that we can get away with making Minnesota look like Iraq. And one of the places that we first found was the Kasota Stone Quarry, because the color of the rock and the atmosphere there really matched some of the areas along the Euphrates River.
And one of the generals, one of your advisors, was wondering if that was going to work, wasn't he?
Yeah, actually, it wasn't. He wasn't one of our advisors, but I believe General El Osario had his doubts about us being able to pull it off. And apparently his statements when he did land there was like, oh, okay, I get it. This looks like Iraq.
So for the segments on the Iraq, for the Minnesota National Guard soldier, you did that down there.
Well, we had the Kasota Stone Quarry, and then we had another Traxler's Quarry in Le Sueur County for a night insurgent scene. And then we used the old Schmidt Brewery in downtown St. Paul for one of the ISF center scenes.
And where did you film the World War II scenes? Because you're switching back and forth from World War II to today's wars.
Yeah, as the grandfather starts talking about his telling, you know, stories behind the items that the grandson picks out of the footlocker, we flash back to those. And those were all shot at Traxler's Hunting Preserve down in Le Centre, Minnesota. And Jeff Traxler is the creator of this story.
And Craig, I understand you had some real good volunteers on the program.
We had a variety of volunteers. We had not only reenactors that participated within the World War II sequences that took place at Traxler's, as Sam just mentioned, but we also had individuals that took place in Iraq as well, and that was very important in the storyline to be able to enhance the Iraq scenes. It was very helpful.
Yeah.
So you had some volunteers from the Armory down near Mankato.
Yes, we did. Yeah. A lot of these soldiers that are in these scenes are real soldiers.
Right here from Minnesota.
Absolutely. Yeah. And sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. Gentlemen, I know there had to be lots of obstacles to overcome with the film. What were one of the biggest ones besides obviously the money?
Well, actually, casting was tough for me as a director. You know, I had the grandfather, and then I had to find the younger version of the grandfather to be portrayed in the World War II stuff, and that's tough to do. And then I had the grandson, and I needed an older version of the grandson in the Iraq stuff. So, fortunately for me, a friend introduced me to John Cromwell, who's James Cromwell's son, who lives here in Minnesota. And we all know James Cromwell is like Farmer Hoggett from Babe and other, you know, 150,000 other movies he's been in. He was a brilliant man, and he agreed to do the movie with him and his son. And then I found Jackson Bond to play the grandson, and then I located Jonathan Bennett to play the older version of him, and they just look identical to each other. So that was one of my biggest challenges, really. The rest of it, you know, you got seven different time periods, two different wars, 150 crew members, 53 actors. That seemed like a small part of it compared to casting it correctly.
You had your own army going.
Yeah.
Craig, I understand you had a pretty good buy-in from the actors with this great story.
The actors studied, and the actors, one of the brilliant things that we decided to do was put the actors through a boot camp before they went through the whole experiences on set. And they spent some time handling weapons and really going through what it would be like to be in the Army, and it showed on screen. Without that, it would have been a little bit more challenging. But the actors, they got really deep into the roles, and it shows on screen. It's brilliant.
That's true.
And Sam, you were telling me earlier that the problems that troops experience in all wars, like post-traumatic stress and so forth, was really a big part of the reason that you liked this story, wasn't it?
Yeah, it does address, you know, it does address the issue of don't keep this stuff inside. Get out there and find the help that you need to get these things off your chest. Talk to your family, talk to your friends. That's why the VFW was created. Go hang out with the guys, you know, have a beer, tell your stories. Don't keep this stuff inside. So wellness issue is very much important to me, and as well as handing down your history to your younger generations.
There are a lot of families all over the United States that have multi-generational members that have served in the military in various wars, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and now Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yep.
I think this movie's really going to hit home hard with those folks.
Well, we hope so.
What was your most gratifying moment in the process of, I suppose it's going to be when you finally get it out to the movie theaters and it's finished. Yeah. But
probably getting a rough cut done was gratifying. You know, there's not one moment that really stands out. Every day, the writer and Craig and myself, we looked at each other and just went, is this really happening? You know, are we really doing this? Because it's incredible. It was amazing. The support we had, and we wouldn't be sitting here right now if it wasn't for Jeff Traxler and Kyle O'Malley, the guys that came up with this story and really fought to get this thing made and raise the money to make this movie in a tough economy, you know? So all the money was raised locally, and all the talent came locally, and all the support was local.
Well, gentlemen, where are you with the process? Is the film finished? Are you still adding music? Do you have a distributor?
We are currently finishing up the rough cut, which is a really solid rough cut. It's I would say 85-90% there. There's a few items to finish up, but we're showing it to distributors, and we're engaging with them, and we'll have a deal, I trust, shortly. We don't quite have a theatrical deal yet, but we're working on it.
So if you're a distributor and you're listening.
call the guys. We need to get this movie out to the theaters.
That's right.
So a little more music to add, a little bit of finishing touches?
Yeah. We're laying in some temporary music tracks to kind of get a feel for it, and we'll show it around a little bit and get some feedback and then make some changes. You know, there's some visual effects that need to be done. And then once we get all the feedback in and we're pretty solid on the edit, then we'll compose the score.
Gentlemen, we got about a minute left. There's a lot of veterans that will be listening to the show on Sunday. What's your message for them about the movie Souvenirs?
Well, first off, thank you very much for your service. We wouldn't have these stories if it wasn't for your service and your time and your dedication. Again, I just feel that this movie really addresses families that have experienced this, that need to stick together and support those people that are in that process, whether they're at home or away on active duty. And it is just a story of addressing that wellness issue.
Greg?
I would love to give a well wish to the gentlemen that are shipping out, to the men and women of Minnesota National Guard that are soon going to be departing.
That's right.
Thank you for your service, and good luck to you.
And he's referring, of course, to the 34th Infantry Red Bull, who this movie was about.
That's right.
Gentlemen, I can't wait to see it. I hope you get it in distribution soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having us here today, Tom.
Thanks for joining us on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. That was Craig Christensen and Sam Fisher, the producer and director of Prospective Films. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Each week, we feature Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, a comprehensive program that connects service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase, a story where someone just like you and I went out of their way to make a difference in the life of a service member or military family. Our service members aren't the only ones that deploy. When our heroes receive the call, it's the family members that must find a way to manage life at home without a loved one. For 9-year-old Tanya Stover, the day her mom left for Iraq was one that she wouldn't forget. Since waving goodbye on that cold morning, Tanya dealt with a variety of emotions and struggles. Very few of her classmates and friends understood what it meant to be the daughter of a military mom. And when April rolled around, Tanya felt appreciated in her own role as a military child. April is the month of the military child. Since 1986, it has been a time to honor military children and to reinforce that they are a key part of the armed forces community. This month, Governor Mark Dayton will proclaim April the month of the military child and encourage our communities to recognize the sacrifices of our little heroes. Thank you for showcasing how Minnesotans strive to go beyond the yellow ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects service members with their families, with organizations, agencies, companies, community support, training, services, and resources to bring service members all the way home. To learn how you can, like Month of the Military Child, make a difference in the life of a service member or military family, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. When we return, we'll take a look at Paw Pads Service Dogs with Linda Ball. That's right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelido.
They say a dog is man's best friend. At the Hastings Veterans Home, this couldn't be more true. Our domiciliary veterans home, which provides care and boarding for just under 200 veterans in Hastings, Minnesota, recently partnered with the service dog organization, Paw Pads. Through this program, residents are working with two facility dogs on site at the home. Service dogs have obvious benefits for veterans with physical disabilities, but they can also provide a powerful alternative therapy for non-physical issues. Dogs are companions who don't judge, and they listen unconditionally. This has been demonstrated to help veterans recover from service-related issues faster and more completely. Paw Pads has made a large commitment to serving those who have served. The innovative Paw Corps program allows veterans to help veterans. In this program, veterans are responsible for the training of service dogs, which are later matched with disabled veterans. Right now, Paw Pads provides facility dogs to work with our veterans in Hastings. Our future goal is to expand the program to include service dog training by veterans. Training dogs can be extremely beneficial and therapeutic for veterans who are dealing with issues ranging from reintegration and depression to post-traumatic stress disorder and substance abuse. As they train the service dog for their fellow veterans, the veterans focus on positive interaction, which allow them to improve patience, control their frustration, and regulate their emotions. These important elements are key to reconnecting with civilian life. Believe it or not, having an animal to care for also helps prevent at-risk veterans from falling back into homelessness. When they have someone who depends on them, they have motivation to provide food and shelter for themselves and their pet. One of our female veterans here in Minnesota has experienced the benefits of this program. Multiple deployments have put a strain on her family, but she said time with the dogs has been therapeutic. For her, it provided healing in more ways than one, and brought stability and purpose into her life.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelido. You can find out more about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs programs by calling 1-888-LINK-VET or online at minnesotaveteran.org. This week, Linda Ball joins us. She is founder and executive director from Paw Pads, Positive Perspectives Assistance Dogs. Linda, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here again.
Linda, I understand that you've been involved in social services and the nonprofit field for over 20 years.
Exactly. Since way back in high school, working with people with disabilities.
And then you were in the Peace Corps as a volunteer.
I was in Peace Corps in Mongolia. I worked with the deaf community and helped develop and produce Mongolia's first sign language dictionary.
And after the Peace Corps in Mongolia, where did you go after that?
After that, you know, there was a stint in graduate school, and finishing that, I then ended up in Bosnia for 4 years, working with reconstruction and reconciliation after the Bosnian War, and then Kosovo for a year, and then Central America for a couple of years.
My goodness, you made the rounds.
You know, it was fantastic. The world is a small place these days.
And how did you get involved with the Paw Pads, Positive Perspectives Assistance Dogs?
You know, when I was living overseas, I kept adopting animals, or they kept adopting me. So I do have a cat from Mongolia, a dog from Bosnia, a cat from Bosnia, and a dog from the jungles of Honduras. And coming back home after work every day and seeing the challenges of developing countries and post-war countries, I just embraced the, coming back to an animal, coming back to my dogs and my cats. And it really changed my life that way. And I started thinking, you know, there's such therapeutic value. And it came full circle into my developing positive perspectives.
And what's the purpose of the program?
Positive Perspectives Assistance Dogs trains dogs for placement with people with physical disabilities. That's our primary focus. We also train diabetic alert dogs, which alert to blood sugar changes. So that's Paw Pads. But within Paw Pads, we have Paw Core, which is our veterans program. And that program has been developed to work with veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress and other disabilities related to the war, as they train the dogs. And they train them for placement then with their fellow veterans fellow soldiers who are coming back with physical challenges, and they're facing life differently than when they, before they went to war.
We're speaking with Linda Ball, the founder and executive director for Paw Pads, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Linda, when was it that you actually discovered that these veterans that have various issues could start working with dogs and it'd be good for the dogs and good for the veterans? And how did you get there?
You know, I attended the Assistance Dog Institute out in California for 10 months to learn how to train service dogs. And it actually happened talking with an instructor kind of over coffee on a napkin. And thus was born both our program as well as their program, which is Paws for Purple Hearts. We coordinate with them a lot. And they've got the same program going on the West Coast and the East Coast. So we're kind of setting up in the Midwest. But we were just talking over coffee saying, geez, this is so therapeutic. We worked with youth at risk, and we saw the differences it made for the youth. And they developed emotional regulation and self-control and parenting skills. It was just a win-win situation. And we started talking and thinking about it and thinking, these guys and gals are coming back, and maybe their tempers are shorter. They're plagued by night terrors, all of the symptoms that go along with post-traumatic stress. And so that's how it was born, basically on a napkin.
So Paws for Purple Hearts.
How does
that, give me an example, how does that work?
Same thing. We have, and currently in Minnesota here, Paw Corps is working with a few veterans, and they're training the dogs. So they're training them to do about 100 different tasks and skills. And so through that process, they're learning to regulate their emotions. They're getting this unconditional love back. So it's a give take. One of our huge success stories is one of our veterans who's been training for about 8 or 9 months now, and he has gone from 9 medications for post-traumatic stress and anger issues. He's gone from 9 down to 1 per day, and he credits it and to the program and to being able to interact with the dogs, and they provide this calming sense to him, and he knows that he's going to be giving back. He knows that eventually these dogs will be placed with fellow veterans, and he feels that's what it's all about.
So he's helping train the dogs.
Exactly.
And then the dogs get placed to be home helpmates or to go to veterans with disabilities?
Potentially, yes. The dogs ideally will go to veterans now facing life with physical challenge. So maybe someone who has ended up in a wheelchair or lost a limb.
And what type of things how do the dogs help the ones in the wheelchairs?
They retrieve, they can pay with credit cards, they turn on and off lights, they can tug open doors, as well as just providing that sense of wholeness.
And companionship,
exactly.
And you brought somebody with you today.
I did. We have Hero. He's one of our youngest puppies. Since we last spoke, we've actually added Hero, Bravo, Recon, and Ranger. Specifically to the Paw Corps program, and Hero is a yellow lab, and he's just snoozing right now.
So a beautiful puppy taking a nap here in the studio.
Yep, exactly.
So once they're trained, then they're placed with a disabled veteran, and they live with them Permanently.
Permanently. That's exactly right. And it does take, it takes about 2 years and approximately $20,000 to $25,000 to train them. And then they're placed by personality. So we don't want to place a really laid-back puppy, such as Hero, with a veteran who's maybe a go guy. So we do place by personality and by skill and need.
I've got a quote here from you. I believe this is a quote here from you, that working with our service dogs is pure magic for you as well as the trainers, and that it's fun to watch the light bulb light up in a puppy's mind as they figure out how to open a door, turn on a light. And it's interesting that the puppies somehow choose who they're going to live with. Is there some kind of a dating arrangement there?
You know, they often do. We'll let the dogs come in and we'll watch the interactions and we'll see kind of who clicks. It's almost like a dating service there. It's really fun to watch, particularly our veteran trainers, as we cheer them on. So they cheer the puppies on and we're cheering them on. And because a dog, if you're very stern and strict, they'll usually shut down. We train using very happy demeanor and a lot of enthusiasm and reward-based training. And so it's really fun to see some of these guys who are quite stoic, and all of a sudden they're talking like Richard Simmons and cheering the dogs on. And we've really seen that at the VA home in Hastings as well.
Great stuff, Linda. We have to take a short break. We'll continue our conversation with Linda Ball after this short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking to Linda Ball, the founder and executive director of Paw Pads. Linda, we've been talking about the puppy you've got in the studio, and you brought one with you before. I think the puppy's name was Macy. Where's Macy these days?
That's right. Well, Macy has moved on to bigger and better things than hanging out with us at Positive Perspectives. She is now the facility/therapy dog at the VA home in Hastings. So she has a dual role. The therapists there use her in their therapy in a variety of mental health counseling, in recreation therapy, OT, PT, a variety of things during the day. And then she also lives there, and the veterans get to hang out with her and just be the beneficiaries of her love.
So when they're sitting around watching the football game at night, the Macy's with them.
Exactly. Exactly. She usually has the prime chair as well.
I would guess so. What type of things does she do in her during the day, during the business day there?
You know, we're working with her. We're working with several veterans to continue her training. But some of the feedback I've gotten are, I had a Marine come up to me and say that during their group therapy, she had come over. She was leaning against him. He was just petting her. And he shared more than he ever had before. And he came up and told me that, and I said, yes, you know, that's what it's all about. I've had a couple of other times, some of the guys have come up to me and said, you see that guy over there rolling around on the floor with Macy? He would never interact like that. He never talked to anyone, and now he can't stop talking about her. We've got guys who are walking more because they all take her out on walks. And she is very much loved there. If any problems have arisen, it's because everyone wants her.
So do you have plans to get some more dogs into the homes?
You know, we would love to. We would love to actually run the full training program, so up to 6 puppies, where we'd have a group of veterans that are at the VA living there do all the training through placement. But we're taking baby steps that way.
Has Macy been welcomed by the staff there? Did they foresee any problems or they've gotten over all of that?
You know, they've gotten all of the staff have been wonderful. They've all gotten over any trepidation, and they have welcomed her. They see the difference that she's made. Her placement and complete transition into living there has gone so much better than we all expected. And the staff, there are several key staff that work with her, and, you know, they just adore her.
We're speaking with Linda Ball, the founder and executive director for Paw Pads on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. I may have alluded to this a little bit. Are there plans to put the dogs in other veterans' homes?
You know, we're open to that. Part of our curriculum is our belief is that every dog has a job. And sometimes that job is one-on-one with a person. Sometimes that job, like Macy's best placement, is with a lot of people. She's got a lot of love to give. And so while she could do great service dog skills, she could, you know, turn on a light and tug open a door and retrieve and do all of those things, her best fit for her personality was at the VA. So we're certainly open to placing more dogs. It really does have a big impact on a lot of people at one time.
Now, where do you find the volunteers, the doggies, for the training program?
You know, we get them from a variety of places. Sometimes they're donated. Sometimes we've got a full litter that were rescued at 7 days old. And they're about a year and a half now, so they're on their way. We've had Hero was donated by a family whose son did two tours already. We've got Bravo and Recon was donated by another family whose son did two tours as well. So they're donated kind of in honor of. But we look for them from a variety of places.
Are all the dogs suitable for this type of training and activity?
Not all dogs. We really look at health and temperament. So it's hard. You need dogs that's why we focus on kind of labs and goldens, golden retrievers, kind of the family type dogs, the dogs that want to please. So yeah, not every dog is suited.
Linda, can you tell me about the challenge grant that PawPads recently received?
Absolutely. We're really excited. As a nonprofit organization, we depend on donations from individuals and from other organizations to keep going. And recently we received a $15,000 challenge grant from Giant Steps Foundation. And so for every dollar donated between now and June 30th, it'll be matched dollar for dollar. So if people, you know, really want to stretch their donation, their charitable giving, this would be the way to do it.
And how do they reach you?
And they can check us out at www.pawpads.org. And you'll see a little bowl on the right-hand side. We're working on filling Hero, Bravo, and Recon's bowls full of bones. And so it's a little bit of a race going between those three dogs. And that's how people can follow us. And then there are links. We can also, you know, accept checks and in the mail.
Very good. Last question. I understand you're currently seeking some veteran client applications. Can you tell me about that?
We are. You know, as a smaller organization, we're getting into that rotation of placement, and we're going to begin having dogs ready to be placed probably in about 6 months, and then hopefully every 6 months, 6 to 8 months after that. So we are looking for veterans. We prioritize placement with veterans, ideally veterans that now have physical disabilities. Currently, we don't place psychiatric service dogs, but there is a component to that with every placement or every interaction with a dog. But we are seeking veterans who now are facing life with a physical challenge.
Great. Linda, one more time, where can they find out more information about PawPads?
They can go to www.pawpads.org.
Linda, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Tom.
That was Linda Ball, the founder and executive director of PawPads. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Let's take a look in the mailbag to see the listener question of the week. If you have a question, submit it to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining us today is Sergeant First Class Melanie Nelson from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Sergeant Nelson, what's in the mailbag today?
Good morning, Tom. Well, this morning we get a question about employment. It says, I'm looking for a job. How do I find employers that want to hire a vet?
That's a great question for those veterans that are trying to find employment. But the other side of it is, what about those employers that want to find those veterans? Where do they go?
That's a good question, Tom. And of course, the website. But I first want to tell you a very timely thing. I can't believe the timing of this letter for us today. Very soon here on May 3rd is the Department of Employment and Economic Development and Employer Support in the Garden Reserve. It's their Minnesota Veterans Career Job Fair. It's from 11 until 3 o'clock at the Earl Brown Heritage Center in Brooklyn Center. And at that job fair, there will be veterans there. Obviously, we want the veterans to come to look for jobs. And also, there is still a little bit of room for some more employers to put a booth out for employers who want to hire service members who they all know are trained in leadership and teamwork and integrity, because it's the kind of people that they get out of service members.
And the date of that job fair again?
It's May 3rd, Tuesday, May 3rd. And now if this person who wrote the letter can't get to that career fair, which I understand, there are always places for them to go on our website. We send out from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon a weekly job postcard. We try to send it out on Tuesdays as it's the most productive day of the week. Every week I get employers who want to hire service members email me their jobs and we put it out. So that's an opportunity. And if you are an employer too, you can email me and I can certainly post your jobs. Also on the website, we have employment search programs. We have employment resources. We have a mentor program where veterans can sign up to receive a mentor in the civilian field and an HR role to help them find the right jobs. And to get all of these resources from our website, if you're on our homepage at beyondtheyellowribbon.org, just click on the employment button, and you'll come right to our page with all of these different resources. And, of course, there we announce the job fair that Deed is having on May 3rd and any other job fairs that we hear about. We post them right there.
Great work. Thanks, Sergeant Nelson.
Thank you, Tom.
If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Craig Christensen and Sam Fisher from Perspective Films, Linda Ball from Paw Pads, Commissioner Larry Shalito from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, the Adjutant General, the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about how to help families with Mike Farron from the Family Assistance Centers and Bill Popp from the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. And we also talk with General Petraeus' Public Affairs Officer, Colonel Gunhus, on the Afghanistan update. That's next Sunday morning at 7, right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. If you have questions for our mailbag or want to check out the podcast of today's show and all our shows, visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of KTLK, Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.